الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذ يمكر بك الذين كفروا ليثبتوك أو يقتلوك أو يخرجوك ويمكرون ويمكر الله والله خير الماكرين تعالى للفقراء المهاجرين ليارهم وأموالهم الله ورضوانا وينصرون الله ورسوله أولئك هم الصادقون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لأبي بكر رضي الله عنه يا أبا بكر ما ظنك باثنين الله ثالثهما وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام ما أطيبك من بلد وما أحبك إلي ولولا أن قومي أخرجوني ما خرجت أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله مولانا العظيم نبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله اللهم صل على سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد وأصحابه وأولاده وأزواجه وأهل بيته وذريته ومحبيه وأتباعه وأشياعه وعلينا معهم أجمعين يا أرحم الراحمين. The year 1445 AH has commenced. Whenever we take Islamic year, then together with it we will say AH or after Hijrah. The reason why the has commenced from the Hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that during the time of Umar radiallahu an, when there was a discussion that we require our own calendar. Up till this point there was no calendar. The months were there, but there was no calendar in terms of years. Pre-Islam, they had different ways. For example, the year of the elephants, that was a great event. So they would say so many years before the year of elephants, so many years after the year of elephants. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, that was in vogue. And there was no Islamic calendar. Now in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, there was a discussion that we require an Islamic calendar. And various suggestions were given with regards to what should be that great event that we should use to be the commencement of the Islamic calendar. At that time, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu decided, and he said that al-hijratu farraqat bayna al-haqqi wal-batil, that the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the migration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba radiallahu anhum from Makkah Mukarramah to Medina Munawwara, was the deciding factor between haqq and batil, between truth and falsehood. Hence, this should be the commencement of the Islamic calendar. So this is the importance of this occasion of Hijrah in the life of every Muslim. And the month of Muharram reminds us about this great. This was the deciding factor between haqq and batil. Up till this point, Islam was suppressed. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were oppressed in Makkah Mukarramah. They could not do many things because of them being under the suppression and oppression of the Quraysh. And once they moved over to Madinah Munawwara, now there was a markaz of Islam. There was a center of Islam that was being founded. And from here Islam flourished to the four corners of the world. So this occasion of Hijrah was the springboard to great progress for Islam and for the Muslims. Although it was a new beginning for the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, it marked the end of many atrocities and oppressions that they were subjected to prior to this in Makkah Mukarramah. However, at the same time, it was a very, very great sacrifice on the side of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. What a sacrifice for them. Can we imagine a person giving up everything, giving up his home, his wealth, his business, giving up his friends, his surroundings. And for them, it was not only giving up these things and going to the unknown. They did not know what was in store for them in Madinah Munawwara. Today, when a person migrates, then he will migrate to a place where he feels that it's better off, better pastures, it's more financially more lucrative, materially he'll be more secure. That's a reason for a person migrating. He will first set up everything and then he'll move on. For them it was not like that. All of a sudden they had to give up everything and they had to leave Makkah Mukarramah and go to Madinah Munawwara. So this was a very great sacrifice. But this was not the greatest sacrifice for them. To leave their wealth, to leave their belongings, to leave their family. No, no. The greatest sacrifice for them was that they were not leaving an ordinary place. They were leaving that very, very, very blessed place that housed the Baytullah and that was Makkah Mukarramah. They were very deeply attached to Makkah Mukarramah. They were emotionally attached. We cannot explain this attachment perhaps in a better way than has been explained by Mawlana Sayyid Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi rahimahullah, where he says, فَكَأَنَّهُمْ رُضِعُوا بِلِبَانِ حُبِّ الْكَعْبَةِ وَتَعْظِيمِهَا. It was as if from a young age, Sahaba radiallahu anhum were breastfed with the love, with the milk of the love of the Kaaba. From a young age, وَامْتَزَجَ ذَلِكَ بِلُحُومِهِمْ وَدِمَائِهِمْ. The love of the Kaaba had penetrated every pore and every cell of their body. This was the love that they had, the attachment that they had to Makkah Mukarramah, to the Kaaba, and now to leave such a place. Just to understand again, what was the emotions? What was the attachment? And then obviously we will appreciate the sacrifice. And then the lesson that we need to take from this. The attachment was such that when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was leaving Makkah Mukarramah on one occasion, he looked at Makkah Mukarramah and the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to Makkah Mukarramah, "Ma atyabaki min balad." What a pleasant city you are. What a beautiful place you are. "Wa habbaki ilayya." And you are so close and so dear to me. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is leaving Makkah Mukarramah, but he's saying, "You're so dear to me. You're such a beautiful place." But at the same time, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us that perfect balance between emotions and between the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes on to say, "Wallahi, lawla anna qawmi akhrajuni minki ma kharajt." If it wasn't for the fact that my people have expelled me and they did not allow me to practice my deen freely in Makkah Mukarramah in you, if it was not for this, I would have not left. So my emotions are here, my attachment is here, but for the sake of my deen, I had to leave. And this is that great lesson and perhaps the greatest lesson that we can learn from the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that they sacrifice their desires for the sake of the protection of the deen and the propagation of deen. Protection of deen and propagation of deen is foremost. It is the most important thing for us. If we cannot practice our deen in a place, then although our emotions may be attached there, we will have to divorce ourselves from that place. We will have to leave that place in order to go to a place where we will be able to practice our deen freely. And this is a lesson that we apply in every aspect of our life. Sometimes the emotions with the family. The family is putting pressure to do something which is against the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes our emotions may be linked to something else which goes against the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At that juncture, a believer understands that my emotions can be there. My love and attachment can be there. But foremost in my life is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the protection of my own deen and the propagation and effort of deen. And for this, I'm prepared to make every sacrifice. Again, to understand the emotional attachment that Sahaba radiallahu anhu had to Makkah Mukarramah. When Sayyiduna Bilal radiallahu anhu, we all know the difficulties he underwent in Makkah Mukarramah. Untold difficulties, unimaginable. What difficulties and persecution he was subjected to. We will think when he goes to Madinah Munawwara, he will be extra excited. He will be very happy. Now it's the end of everything. But Bilal radiallahu anh, again to understand that emotional attachment. When he came to Madinah Munawwara, he falls ill. The fever of Madinah Munawwara was famous at that time. Bilal radiallahu anh was experiencing extreme and very high fever. Abu Bakr radiallahu anh as well. So Bilal radiallahu anh, when he would experience this fever, then he would say, Ala layta shi'ri hal abitanna layla biwadin wa hawli idhkhirun wa jalilu wa hal aridan yawman miyaha mi janna wa hal yabduan li shamatun wa tafilu. Where he reminisces and he remembers the not just the Kaaba, but even the mountains around the Kaaba, even the mountains of Makkah Mukarrama, even the vegetation and the grass of Makkah Mukarrama, all of this he's remembering. And he says, if only one day we can go and we can be again in that environment that we are accustomed to, in the environment and surroundings of Makkah Mukarrama. This is the gist of the meaning of this poem. Just to show that attachment that they had. And then he would say, then may Allah curse the mushrikeen. They have forced us to leave. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw this difficulty that the Sahaba radiallahu anhu are going through, this emotional battle that they are fighting, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam may subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he says, Allahumma habbib ilayna al-Madina ka hubbina Makkah aw ashad. Oh Allah, you make Medina dear to us. Make Medina beloved to us. You have commanded us to move over to this place. We have left Makkah Mukarramah for the sake of deen. Our heart is still attached to Makkah Mukarrama. Our emotions are still attached there. But oh Allah, you put the love of Madinah Munawwara in our hearts, similar to the love that we have to Makkah Mukarrama, for Makkah Mukarrama, or even more than the love that we have for Makkah Mukarrama. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made dua that fever of Madinah Munawwara must leave and it must go to another place. So this is just a glimpse for us to appreciate what were the emotions of Sahaba radiallahu anhum? What was the sacrifice? It was not moving happily from a place of persecution to a place of peace and security. Yes, there was security and there was peace in Madinah Munawwara, but it was a very, very great sacrifice for Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Apart from leaving everything behind and going to the unknown, not knowing what was in store for them. But this in itself was a great sacrifice for the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and obviously for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then the journey, leaving Makkah Mukarrama and going to Madinah Munawwara, that journey also was a very difficult journey. Different Sahaba had different obstacles, as we will try and discuss a few incidents. Maulana Abul Hasan rahmatullah alayhi writes, and he says that lam takun hijratul muslimin min Makkah hayyinatan sahlatan. It wasn't a simple affair. It wasn't an easy thing that now that the Quraysh will just hear about it and they'll allow them to go. No. Bal kanu yada'una al-araqil fi sabil al-intiqal min Makkah ila al-Madina. But they placed obstacles. Every type of obstacle that they could place, they placed in the path of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum moving from Makkah Mukarrama to Madina Munawwara. And they tested them and they challenged them in different ways. Some Sahaba radiallahu anhum were separated from their family, some from their wealth, some in other ways. They were physically attacked and they were injured in the process. So various difficulties Sahaba radiallahu anhum had to go through in this journey from Makkah Mukarrama to Madinah Munawwara. Now before we go on, the purpose of us discussing this journey, the purpose of discussing the hijrat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one is so that we deeply appreciate the sacrifice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba radiallahu anhum. What did they do for us? For the sake of deen reaching us, what difficulties Sahaba radiallahu anhum went through, what difficulties Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam personally went through for the sake of deen to come to us and for the sake of deen to reach the four corners of the world. So appreciating the efforts and then taking lesson. As we explained, the most important lesson is that in protection and preservation of our deen and the propagation of our deen, then we will be prepared to make any sacrifice. Whatever the sacrifice may be, A lover of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and a lover of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum will be prepared to make the sacrifice no matter how great the sacrifice may be. Obviously, choosing Madinah Munawwarah, this choice was from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then, choosing the Ansar to be the host of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muhajireen, this also was a choice from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if we look at it, that is the original reason. It was the choice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you have to look at it from the terms of outward causes, then there were certain specialities that Madinah Munawwarah enjoyed and that the Ansar enjoyed. For them to be accepted and for this place to be accepted, to be the center of Islam, and to become that place from where Islam will flourish and spread. In terms of Madinah Munawwarah, the location of Madinah Munawwarah and the strategic positioning of Madinah Munawwarah was perhaps one of the reasons why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had chosen Madinah Munawwarah. On either side of Madinah Munawwarah, there are rocky mountains which serve as a protection for Madinah Munawwarah. And then on the third side of Madinah Munawwarah, there were date orchards and there were people that were living that also became a sort of a barrier. And there was only one way to enter Madinah Munawwarah. And then during the occasion of Khandaq, the Battle of Khandaq, we will understand this location and why it played such an important role. When the Sahaba, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba radiallahu anhum dug the trench, then it was only one side of Madinah Munawwarah that was exposed. And they only needed to dig a trench on that one side of Madinah Munawwarah, and this completely fortified Madinah Munawwarah. So geographically, Madinah Munawwarah was an ideal location. And with regards to the people of Madinah Munawwarah, the Ansar of Madinah Munawwarah, Allah had blessed them with ajeeb and very amazing qualities. It was the sifat of the people of Madinah Munawwarah perhaps which made them the choice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The quality of hospitality, the strength of their iman. They were actually from Yemen. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the ahadith has spoken highly about Yemen and the qualities of the people of Yemen. And the commentators of hadith explain that this is actually a praise for the Ansar of Madinah Munawwarah. Al-Imanu Yamanin. Iman belongs to the people of Yemen. Wal-Hikmatu Yamaniya. Wisdom is a quality of the people of Yemen. And like this, other qualities of the people of Yemen, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had praised. And it was these qualities which the Ansar possessed, which perhaps made them those that were the ideal host of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the protectors and defenders of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had seen a dream. And in the dream, he was shown a place that will be the place of his hijrah. And it was a place that had a lot of date palms, and it had two rocky mountains. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam initially was unsure, because there were two places that fitted this description. One was Yathrib, which was actually Madinah Munawwarah. It was the name of Madinah Munawwarah at that time was Yathrib. And the other was perhaps a place called Hajar. So these two places fitted the description. After a few days, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees a dream again. And then he happily says to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum that it is Yathrib and Madinah Munawwarah that has been chosen for the place of our hijrah and the place that we will be going to. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during the occasions of Hajj, he would walk among the people and he would say, May yu'wini, may yansuruni, hatta uballigha risalata rabbi aw kama qal, that who will give me protection? Who will give me an asylum? Who will protect me and defend me and help me so that I can pass on the message of my Rabb? And in this way, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would go to the different people and different tribes that came for Hajj. It was the 10th year after Hijrah, or the 11th year after Hijrah, when the first group of the Ansar, the 11th year after Nubuwa, not after Hijrah, the 11th year after Nubuwa, that the first group of Ansar, six Ansar, accepted Islam at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They went back to Madinah Munawwarah and they began to propagate Islam. The next year there were 12.
that met Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Mina at a place called Aqaba. And it was here that they pledged allegiance and they took bay'ah at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then when they were returning, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent with them Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Ummi Maktoum, the blind Sahabi radiallahu anhu, and Sayyiduna Mus'ab bin Umayr radiallahu anhu. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent them to Madinah Munawwara to teach the people of Madinah deen and to propagate Islam in Madinah Munawwara. And they did a sterling effort. Mus'ab bin Umayr radiallahu anhu did sterling work in Madinah Munawwara despite being so young, despite him leaving all the luxuries that he enjoyed. His incident is famous. He did a sterling work in Madinah Munawwara. فَلَمْ يَبْقَ دَارٌ مِّن دُورِ الْأَنصَارِ. There was hardly a house from the houses of Ansar, but there was someone that had accepted Islam and believed in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Madinah Munawwara. The next year, the 13th year after Nubuwwah, now there were either 75 or 88, different versions, different narrations, 75 or 88 Ansar of Madinah Munawwara that met with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Mina on the occasion of Hajj. And this is known as the second Aqaba, when they pledged allegiance at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it was here that they presented the offer to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Nabi of Allah, why don't you move over to Madinah Munawwara? It was obviously a great offer. The uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abbas radiallahu anhu, who was not a believer at that time, but obviously he had the welfare of his nephew at heart. He questioned them, asking them, do you know what it entails? And they gave their word and they pledged that they will protect Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as they protect their own wives and their own children. And no matter what may happen, they gave their word and they pledged allegiance to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereafter gave permission to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum to begin migrating to Madinah Munawwara. The very first Sahabi to migrate was a Sahabi by the name of Abu Salama radiallahu anhu. And his migration was a very, very difficult migration. Inshallah, we will discuss his incident next week and the incidents of certain other Sahaba radiallahu anhum. We want to focus first on the hijrat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because obviously that's the primary focus of our discussion. So, with great difficulty, Abu Salama radiallahu anhu migrated to Madinah Munawwara, and then other Sahaba radiallahu anhum began to follow. Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu anhu also followed. The difference with Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu anhu is others made hijrat secretly. Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu anhu went to the outskirts of Makkah Mukarramah. He unsheathed his sword and he said, I'm going to Madinah. Anyone wants to come, they can come and try it. That was Umar radiallahu anhu. So that was the way in which he migrated to Madinah Munawwara. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who would always rush to do any good deed, he wanted to be the first to do a good deed. He asked permission repeatedly from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that O Nabi of Allah, can I go? Can I go? And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would tell him, O Abu Bakr, don't hurry, don't rush. لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ أَن يَجْعَلَ لَكَ صَاحِبًا. That perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will arrange for a very good companion for you. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had that desire. And these were certain indications that he would be accepted to be the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on this great journey. It was no ordinary accomplishment or no ordinary favor, no ordinary choice from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on this very, very sensitive and important journey. You will understand the sensitivity as we go on. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't rush, don't hurry. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu prepared. He bought two camels. Now this alone tells us that everything in his mind was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A normal person, when he's preparing, he'll prepare for himself. He would have normally bought. But Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when he thought, he didn't think about himself. It was Rasulullah. So he bought two camels. And for 4 months, he fattened these camels. He prepared these camels, waiting for that day when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will tell him that let's go. And he will present this camel to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, the permission did not come from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as yet for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to migrate to Medina Munawwara. Sahaba were leaving, Sahaba were migrating, but the permission didn't come for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to leave until finally very few Sahaba radiallahu anhum remained in Makkah Mukarramah. All those Sahaba who could manage the journey of Hijrat, they all left Makkah Mukarramah and they went over to Medina Munawwara. It was very few Sahaba that were left in Makkah Mukarramah with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now the Quraysh, when they see all of this happening, they become afraid. And now they realize that we're losing the plot. We were persecuting these people here in Makkah Mukarramah. We felt that in this way we will suppress the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and we will not allow his religion to spread. But now they have a sanctuary. They have a base in Medina Munawwara and they realize that very soon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will move over to Medina Munawwara. And once they move over to Medina Munawwara, now they will have no authority over them. They will not be able to control the spread of Islam and they will have no authority whatsoever over Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslims. So at that time now, they have an urgent meeting. In their parliament house, we can call it Darun Nadwa, the place where the Quraysh would sit and they would decide their matters. So all the notables and leaders of Makkah Mukarramah of the Quraysh were sitting there. And then they see at the door, there is a very old person standing at the door. So they ask, "Who are you?" He says, "I'm a person from Najd. And I have come to assist you in your making this decision." This person was none other than Iblis and Shaitan. He had come in the disguise of this old man to be part of this mashura and part of this meeting of the Quraysh. So he also, they allowed him in. And then they began to discuss that what should we do with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So different suggestions came. One suggestion was, let us tie him up and shackle him and allow him to die in this way. But there was a rebuttal of that. This old man, who was actually Shaitan, he gives some reason why this suggestion is not good. Then another suggestion was that they should banish Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and exile him from Makkah Mukarramah. Again, Shaitan says that this is not going to be good, because this will only give him a better opportunity to spread his message. Until finally, the arch enemy of Islam, Aduullah, the enemy of Allah, Abu Jahl, he says that we should kill him. Na'udhu billah. But obviously they could not kill Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so easily. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came from a very prominent family of Makkah Mukarramah. His family members will not take it easily. And they would want to take revenge if someone had to kill Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and assassinate him. So Abu Jahl came up with an idea. He devised a plan. And the plan was that we will not send one person to execute him and to assassinate him. Rather, we will choose a strong youngster from each family of Makkah. And all of them together will pounce on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and na'udhu billah take the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this way, the Banu Hashim and the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will not be able to take revenge from everyone. So they will be forced to take blood money. We will pay them the blood money, but our job will be done. Shaitan very strongly supports this decision or the suggestion of Abu Jahl. And finally the meeting is concluded that this is what the plan will be, that all of them will stand outside the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and when he leaves his home, then they will attack him and pounce on him all at once, and then they will assassinate Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends Jibril alayhi salatu wasalam to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you should immediately leave Makkah Mukarramah and go to Medina Munawwara. You should not even spend the night in your home. Now where does Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam go? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes to the place where he always went, and that was to the house of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha was already married to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but was still not living with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that time. Her rukhsati had still not taken place. She still did not move over to the home of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she says that every morning and every evening, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would visit our home, the home of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. But she says that during the midday heat, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not come. All of a sudden, one day we see that it was the time of midday, which is intense heat. In Makkah Mukarramah, we see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam approaching. His face is covered, his Mubarak face is covered with a shawl. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who knew Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so well, he says that may my mother and father be sacrificed for him. There's something very urgent that has happened because of which he has come to me at this time. He understood Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so well that if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is coming now, then this is a very urgent matter. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes and he says to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, take out whoever is here, take them out. It was something very confidential. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam needed to leave secretly without the kuffar knowing. So take everyone out from the room, from the house. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu replies and he says, innama hum ahluk. O Nabi of Allah, they are your family. Meaning it's Aisha radiallahu anha and it is my daughter Asma. There's nothing to worry about. It's completely confidential. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu that I have been commanded to now leave Makkah Mukarramah and undertake this journey of hijrah. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was waiting for this moment. For 4 months he's preparing. He says, As-sahabata ya Rasulullah. O Nabi of Allah, can I please accompany you? He was not confident that I'm definitely going to be that person. Despite his attachment to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, despite his great position, he never felt proud about himself that I'm definitely going to be that person. No one else can be accepted for this journey. No. It was a humble request. O Nabi of Allah, As-sahabata ya Rasulullah, O Nabi of Allah, can I please accompany you? But this choice of who was going to accompany Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not his choice. It was a choice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Jibreel alayhi salatu wasallam instructs him to make hijrat, he asked Jibreel alayhi salatu wasallam, O Jibreel, may you hajiru ma'i. Who will be with me on this journey? Jibreel alayhi salatu wasallam replied, it was going to be Abu Bakr. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu now makes this request. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepts this request. When Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu hears that he is going to be the companion, he begins to cry. Aisha radiallahu anha says, up till that point, I never knew that a person can cry out of happiness also. We know of people crying out of sorrow and sadness. I never knew a person could cry out of happiness. It was on this occasion, when I see my father tearing and crying, that I realize that a person can cry out of happiness also. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was so happy. He was so elated. He was so excited that I have been chosen for this very, very sensitive task. Now let us understand what a sensitive moment it was. What a sensitive journey. It is the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that is at risk. It is the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that was in danger. It was a situation of make it or break it. If they move safely to Madinah Munawwara, and the companion will obviously play a very important role on this journey. This companion had to be playing a very important role. If they made it over to Madinah Munawwara, then that was the new beginning of Islam. That was the beginning of the flourishing of Islam. But if Allah forbid they did not make it through, then that would be the end of the life of the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And obviously what would happen to Islam? Because Islam still has not been complete. Islam still did not spread. So it was a very, very sensitive journey. And it was only the best and the one who will be able to make every sacrifice and the one who will have the most concern for the well-being of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that was going to be chosen for this journey. And it was none other than Sayyiduna Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu that was chosen. Now Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu presents the two camels. O Nabi of Allah, here's the camels. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that I will only ride a camel that belongs to me. These camels belong to you. I'm not prepared to ride this camel. Now look at Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Everything was for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, O Nabi of Allah, if you want to ride a camel that belongs to you, so here's it, I'm giving you a gift. This camel belongs to you. Now when it belongs to you, you will be riding your own camel. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, I will pay for this camel. I will pay for this camel. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now from his personal wealth, he pays Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu for this camel. On this, the ulama mentioned a very, very interesting point. And we'll terminate on this point, time has run out. They say that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu spent so much on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he accepted Islam, he had 40,000 dirhams, 40,000 silver coins. At the occasion of Hijrat, he only had 5,000 left. He spent 35,000 on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and on the Muslims. His wealth was sacrificed for Islam and for the Muslims. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself said that I have repaid every person for the favor that they have done to me. But Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, for his favor, only Allah can repay him. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted so much from Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Why didn't he accept this one camel from him? One camel, if he accepted so much on other occasions, why he could not accept this one camel? The explanation that is given is that because this journey of Hijrah was such a great journey, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to use his personal wealth for this journey. This journey, I will not use anyone else's wealth. Although he didn't have a problem in using the wealth of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, but for this journey, I want to use my own wealth. I will use my personal wealth on this journey because of the auspiciousness of this journey. And it was on this occasion that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam purchased the camel Qaswa, which was a very famous camel of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Different names it has been given to this camel, Jad'a and other names as well. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam purchased this camel Qaswa from Sayyiduna Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And this camel remained the riding camel of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam throughout his life thereafter. Even the Hajjatul Wada, the farewell Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was carried out on this Qaswa, which he purchased from Sayyiduna Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Sayyiduna Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, on our behalf and on behalf of the Ummah, the best of sawab, the best of reward. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to take lesson from this great journey of Hijrah and bless us with an iota of the love and the concern that Sayyiduna Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, next week we will continue. Subhanallah wa bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Allahumma lakal hamdu kullu wa lakal shukru kullu. Allahumma la nuhsi thanan alayk, anta kama athnayta ala nafsik. Allahumma ajzi anna nabiyyana Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam afdala ma jazita nabiyyana qawmihi wa rasulan ummati. Allahumma ajzi ashaba nabiyyika Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam anna wa anil islami wal muslimin khayr الجزاء. اللهم اجعلهم لنا فرطا، اللهم اجعل نبينا لنا فرطا وحوضه لنا موردا، اللهم احشرنا في زمرتي واستعملنا بسنتي وتوفنا على ملتي واجعلنا من حزبي. اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا لا يرتد ونعيما لا ينفد ومرافقة نبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في أعلى درجة الجنة جنة الخلد. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. وصلى الله على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين. آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.